He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Friday morning, everyone. This is January 22nd, live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And we also have Paul Carlson on the line, our bond portfolio manager and investment advisor here at Gunderson Capital. How are you, Paul?
I'm well, Barry. Thanks. How are you?
No, doing great. It's just, short week for the market, but, just been a...
Sure made the most of it. Right.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. Lots of meetings and a couple of projects in terms of trying to get an article out this afternoon. And I know Bill is hard at work on the newsletter.
That's right, for sure.
Yeah. Well, we've got a little news is a bit quiet this morning. Of course, we've got economic news. Not really too much, too much pertinent information on that front. I'm sure there's some folks out there who are interested in those numbers. Specifically.
Yeah, a couple of positive numbers this morning.
Yeah. So it looks like most of the economic news this week has been a little disappointing, which is kind of to be expected. But
initial jobless claims really stuck out, and that's really sad. 900,000.
Yeah, yep. It is. Yep, and that kind of ties into some of the a lot of the executive orders putting in that Biden's been at work on. But just another historic week for the markets. Of course,
all-time highs.
Yeah, ended yesterday. Yeah. Sounds like you said, Groundhog's Day. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting closer to February, I guess. But we ended, of course, at all-time highs, like you said yesterday. NASDAQ and S&P 500, capping off the full week. That's certainly highlighted by the peaceful passing of leadership by the world's largest superpower. And so, with the inauguration of President Biden, right on cue, like we mentioned, it's been had a couple of presidential autograph sessions, if you will. no baseball cards from your mid-80s, late early 90s days, but taking over. Part of that is the executive orders, and that power is kind of I think there's
17 now.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's gotten more more use over the years, or if it just gets publicized more, or what have you. But it's certainly, I just don't remember the term a ton, in the second, in George W.'s kind of presidency.
Right.
Like I said, doesn't mean they weren't used a lot, but I know it was certainly a big tool, in the Obama era, certainly with the gridlock and McConnell playing blocker there. So a lot of stuff, kind of started getting kind of handled a bit through that power. So a lot of those of course mentioned batches kind of all addressing in some form or fashion COVID-19, at least a majority of them that I saw, and then the couple I saw announced, I guess, this more along the lines of this morning, had to do specifically with EBT payments, and then also getting stimulus checks faster, ways to do that, and then also I think federal level harping on the $15 an hour minimum wage, right? And so
right.
I think piece of that was at the federal level, but certainly some like you said, with the jobless claims, room for some, I think for, preferably some targeted relief to those needing it most.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. And you know, before kind of just to recap, yesterday too, we had the had a lot of you know, what we kind of see is, you know, nowadays, right, is a glimpse kind of into the to the red hot semiconductor industry. We get a kind of a preview of how it fared in Q4 with Intel's earnings coming out after the bell yesterday.
Actually, just before the bell.
Yeah,
it was an
yeah.
early release.
Well, yeah, and I wasn't sure if when you mentioned it and shot the text out, I wasn't sure if that was a an actual reported number or, you know, I know they had you know, a leaked kind of rumor number, and so maybe that's why they came out with it, you know, maybe a bit earlier.
Then they just went ahead and released. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, the stock had initially shot up on that, and then now it shows as being down on the day, but really it's just kind of unchanged from where it was before the release.
Yeah. Well, we'll kind of, in the second segment, we'll kind of dive into that and kind of give you kind of our thoughts and how their, you know, that news affects, you know, affects names we actually, best stocks now, names we actually hold in portfolios that are in the semiconductor sector. So, AMD, yeah, Taiwan Semiconductor being one of those. UMC, which hitting another all-time high today. Speaking of Groundhog's Day. So, before we get too far, if you want to give us a recap, Paul, on the I guess on the world markets yesterday. I know,
yeah,
you know, some of the COVID lockdowns in China kind of weighing on those Asian markets.
Well, kind of globally. I mean, really, if you look at the numbers, I mean, Japan down about a half of 1%. You had Hong Kong down 1.5%, China down 0.5%, India down 1.5%, London down almost 1%, Paris down 1.5%, and Frankfurt down 1%. So kind of across the board. Oh, and even India, I don't know if I mentioned, India down 1.5%.
Yep.
So pretty consistent losses around the globe.
Yeah, and I saw some stories in terms of how you know, how COVID's being dealt with and, you know, in emerging markets, you know, countries like Indonesia, for instance, highly populated, I think one of the densest populations
well, India,
in the world, right?
Yeah, densely populated. Right.
Yeah, and so, you know, from that perspective, you know, there's just a, you know, I think, you know, weighing down and then, of course, more and more, you know, I saw where miners and metals kind of slid yesterday. As China's kind of surging COVID cases, you know, kind of kicking off some lockdowns there. You know, I saw at least 1.7 million folks in, I think, in, you know, Beijing or right outside of Beijing or kind of on lockdown. So, you know, it's just kind of a, you know, and we just hit one of those milestones yesterday or day before yesterday in terms of, you know, when the virus kind of, you know, I guess the U.S. kind of, you know, mainstream kind of came aware of its effect. But in terms of, you know, just where we're at, I mean, it's no different than the flu cycle, right, that we see every year that gets modeled out for hospital demand and that type of thing. So in terms of, you know, in terms of hospital earnings. So, you know, it's, you know, no surprise really that it's going to, we've kind of known that, you know, in the colder months, right, in the northern hemisphere, that it's going to be an issue. And it's,
yeah.
It's kind of rearing its head and it'll, you know, it's flowing through, you know, some of the Australian retail numbers I saw where their retail, I think they're down about 4.2%. Of course, you know, they're at minus 2 point, you know, the forecast was minus 2.4, so a pretty big miss. And of course they're on the southern hemisphere, right? So they're lagging data, from when they, you know, given opposite seasons of when they had trouble with COVID. So, you know, I think the market, at least in the U.S., I think we're prepared for some bad economic news. And, you know, I think lately we've seen that, you know, bad news is good news as well in terms of, you know, better chance of stimulus.
Yeah, maybe we can quickly go over the markets here. The S&P
yeah,
down
yeah.
12.5 or 1/3%, 3,840. Dow 30 down 0.5%, 170 points makes it 31,005. NASDAQ down 0.1%, or 10 points, 13,520. Small cap Russell 2000 down 0.5% or 10 points. That's 2,131. crude oil down 1.3%, 72 cents loss on per barrel. That's 52.41 per barrel now. And then we have gold dropping $14 or 0.75% to 18.52. Silver down 1.5% or 40 cents. That makes it 25.47 the ounce. And the all-important 10-year, we're at 1.099.
Okay. Well, it's lots of red on my screen here in front of me. So we'll get to some no pun intended with your silver quote, but we'll get to some silver linings here when we get back. We'll kind of dive into that Intel report and see how that affects some of the names we actually own in the space as well. But
and the econ reports too.
Yep. We'll dive into that. We're just getting started here on Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I'm your host, Barry Kite, and co-host Paul Carlson here.
Hello.
Paul, did you see some of the economic news in terms of the PMI and the existing home sales numbers?
Yeah, so the existing home sales number were strong. It was 6.76 million versus an estimate of 6.56 million, and beating the previous was 6.71. So month over month, you're up 0.7%, where it was estimated to drop 1.9%. And the PMI also beat 59.1 actual versus a forecast of 56.5, and also beating the previous of 57.1.
Yeah, that's, I know, historically, right, January not a big, or December not a big.
Well, this is December number. Yeah,
yeah. December not a big month for home purchases, right? I think, people are usually a bit distracted by the holidays and not the best time to go look and pick out a house, I guess. But,
that's the highest sales level of existing homes since 2006. So,
wow.
Hope that doesn't mean we're getting back to frosty territory.
Yeah, for different reasons. For different reasons. One seems to be a kind of a migration of peoples, and the other the other had to do with everyone had three homes, so it's it was easy to have some boosted sales there, right? Especially when it's kind of like trading on margin, right? Back then, so
exactly,
very easy margin. But yeah, so the the existing home sales numbers and the PMI numbers were it's good to get some good economic news to kind of top off the week. Of course, so saw some interesting numbers in terms of coming in from Black Knight in terms of their seriously delinquent mortgage number. Looks like basically 1.7 ends with 1.7 more million more seriously delinquent mortgages. So
Biden was working on that with one of the executive orders. Forbearance.
That's correct. Yeah, and that's kind of why we wanted to highlight the story in terms of of course, we always get we get wrapped up in the markets a lot of times, right? And you don't. If that's all you're looking at, right, you're inferring that, oh, Main Street's doing great. But, there are some, I think there's certainly some credit, credit bombs out there, as you know.
Potentially,
from a bond market perspective. But, certainly with most of these issues at this point, kind of time, I think can help settle some of these issues. Of course, the further delinquent you get, right, the harder it is to get back on track. Next thing bankers, lenders are getting the keys mail, in the mail. But from at this point, right, the home values obviously are rising. based on your report that you just read, right? But,
yeah.
You know, so you still have demand for that. Prices are going up, which, you know, entails that, you know, folks will want to maintain that home, right? The problem with 0809 is the value dropped more than you, you know, you're upside down. So
yeah, it's a different scenario.
You didn't
want to
keep,
sure.
you didn't want to keep it even if you could, right? And so, you know, in this instance, you know, it's a bit concerning just because, you know, these kind of things take a while, right, to shake out, even if there's no default. You know, you've got that, you've got those, you know, those mortgage balances, right, you know, kind of delinquent, you know, kind of diminishing the amount of money you can spend. So that part, you know, that part is kind of on a go-forward basis, right, is going to, you know, can be a damper on, you know, consumer spending, that type of thing. You know, also, if you, you know, as we've kind of seen in the, you know, small cap space coming back, right, and going, you know, kind of going through the roof, you know, I came across a, you know, kind of a, an interesting story, and we've talked about it back and forth in terms of this scenario happening, but NGL, you know, not picking on NGL industry, it's certainly not a best stock now, I don't even know what their ranking is, but I can guess that it's not good. But in terms of, you know, NGL Energy, for instance, right, they, you know, they're rallying from a junk, you know, in the junk bond market. Their stock was up roughly 20%, over 20% yesterday. And the reason being is that they, you know, were able to get some new notes,
liquidity,
know, some new debt, right? But, you know, the I saw, you know, names of this debt deal as, you know, a Hail Mary for investors, right? And I'm like, that doesn't sound, you know, that doesn't give me much confidence in the, you know, in terms of a $2 billion net, you know, offering, right? And, you know, the company makes is, you know, certainly is in fracking. They essentially clean water from, you know, clean the water from hydraulic drilling. And so, you know, with oil prices being where they are and probably, you know, be capped at least, you know, going forward for a period
of
time.
Well, that's a couple more executive orders ties into that, you know, sector.
Right.
One was pulling the permits for, you know, in the
federal lands. Right?
The federal lands and then the Keystone Pipeline. Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, so when you're looking at that, right, that's another headwind, you know, additional headwind just for, you know, for that space in general. So
producers. Yeah.
So these are, you know, this kind of a, and we always tend to highlight some of the, you know, these cheap bond deals where like, you know, 3% rate for, you know, something that we should probably be 10, right? Sometimes depending on the company. You know, it's just, you know, it's worth highlighting these. You know, where, you know, this is a, you know, this is a small cap stock, right, that eventually, you know, basically looks great, right, went up 20% yesterday, but, you know, is on the verge of potentially the equity at least not existing. So those are, those are kind of some of the, you know, long-term worries, right, that, you know, that can affect. And those are the things that the, you know, the Fed's tried to minimize in terms of, you know, let the system kind of work it out slowly instead of, you know, instead of it all hitting at once, right? You know, I think a lot of that credit, at least the credit event, you know, in the U.S. in 08-09, you know, even though the stock market didn't, you know, just drop 35% in a month like it did this past March with COVID, you know, credit was repriced very quickly, once the market realized what was going on. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Just a piece, you know, kind of a piece to be caution there.
So back to NGL, you know, and Bill talks about it a lot. And, you know, the people that chase these high dividend names, you know, here's the NGL. It says 27.3% dividend yield. Well, do you think that's going to continue?
Yeah,
I think not.
No. I saw something where I actually looked at this deal and the interest expense, I think, is going from like 2% to maybe 8%. And so, you know, basically all that extra interest expense, you know, on a monthly or quarterly or yearly basis is going to be geared towards paying interest now instead of paying dividends.
Yeah.
So, and they're actually going to cut, I think they're actually stopping the preferred dividend as well. So now basically your only investor base for this stock, to my book, would be the dividend. And so now you've essentially taken that away. So, That's the that's the worry, and that's how capital disappears for high yield dividend investors, unfortunately. But we kind of got sidetracked there, but we'll be we promise to have some Intel news and some semiconductor industry fallout from those earnings here when we come back second half of Best Stocks Now Radio. Welcome back to the third quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I'm your host sitting in for our captain, Bill Gunderson, today, Barry Kite, and we have our resident bond guru and bond manager, Paul Carlson, on the line. Paul?
Yes, hello.
All right.
How is it?
Doing great. The in terms of market, still a bit soft. I mean, it kind of... Kind of expected in terms of just in those global numbers that you mentioned yesterday, so
right.
Or mentioned just a bit ago, but yeah, the looks like Dow's down about 0.8% to 39.31, down about 244 points. S&P is down about 0.5%. Right at about 38.34, and then the NASDAQ still well above that 13,000 mark, down just about 27 basis points. So the NASDAQ holding up, the best of the equity names in the red. So, but kind of teased it enough. Want to get to our the main market story yesterday.
Semiconductors.
Yes, and it certainly has been a we've written a lot of articles about the space in 2020, continuing to do so in 2021 in terms of that playbook, and just been a great space overall. Certainly benefiting from the move to continued adoption of 5G, also adoption of the Wi-Fi 6. Standards, that are kind of coinciding from a Wi-Fi side of the of kind of the 5G revolution, and so those that whole
also the computing power that's required to have autonomous vehicles, whether they be EV or otherwise. Yeah.
Yep, and that's another the first two being long-term demand driver that. Kind of a super adoption cycle, right, that we've already kind of seen, kind of easy to, at least see how it's going to unfold. Now, COVID-19 pandemic actually accelerated the adoption of these standards. And like you said, coupled with, short-term demand, that gets pushed up via electric vehicles. I think I saw something where there's 120 something computers in the in the average electronic vehicle. So I don't know what that equates into a number of chips.
Right.
My guess is at least
either.
12. So, but as many sensors, right? You think of self-driving cars. What kind of think of how many nerves and sensory parts mm-hmm. of our body we have, right? Pretty much the whole thing. So. As you can imagine, in an electric vehicle that's going to, at some point drive for us, or at least partially drive for us as it is now, there's going to be lots of computing power inside, one of those vehicles. And so it's created, just created a huge supply and demand issue for, from that's benefiting a lot of semiconductor industry. For a majority of the semiconductor industry for a while there, certainly, coming out of 2010, mid decade, basically became a commodity, right? It didn't really, unless you were on the high end of the spectrum, in terms of, technology and, doing, you know, very unique things for very, you know, for
like
for,
NVIDIA.
Right. Yeah. For very unique suppliers. Right. You know, you're just cranking out chips, no different than storage. Right. In the, you know, in the first part of the 2000s where, you know, your names like SanDisk, right. Who, you know, mm-hmm. went through the roof. Right. Next thing, you know, basically, you know, the, your old USB drive or, you know, any kind of memory storage, right, just became, you know, completely commoditized. And the prices Absolutely. Went down. But, here, even on the not-so-techie side, right, of the chip makers, right, it's just a supply-demand mismatch across the board, which is, you know, increasing average prices for 2021 and beyond. And a lot of these contracts, right, were already in place in, you know, 2000. They usually book a contract a year ahead of time in terms of pricing. And so, you know, 2021 is kind of that first, you know, first year, right, where a lot of these big suppliers and big producers will be able to get kind of that a price bump for what they're doing, because obviously hard in 2020 to raise prices regardless, right? You've got to, you know, what are you going to do, penalize a one of your big partners because of the fact that make them pay more in a time where they're actually spending more because of COVID. And so the you didn't have as much pricing power, but that's kind of shaking out. And so looking at Intel, right? Intel, Intel being not a name we own in the space. So some names we do own: AMD, certainly Taiwan Semiconductor, TSM, correct, or TMS. Always get that one. TSM,
and that was one that was investing $28 billion, I recall, right?
Right, yeah. And so the next step, right, is to increase capacity. Yep, increase capacity, right? So, you know, it's even a better payoff if you're, you know, you increase capacity without, you know, bumping up prices too much, right? You're gonna, you know, they're gonna get a good return on equity, and so that's what they're, you know, that's the game plan there. And I also saw today, I think, just announced Samsung's actually looking at building a pretty large plant in the U.S., to kind of battle, Taiwan Semiconductor, who, you know, is building one. I think it's the great state of Arizona. Is that right? I think that's where
they're sounds New correct. Mexico, I'm not positive.
Somewhere out there.
Southwest.
Yep. And then so, in terms of Intel, right, they've been a huge laggard. Some of their issues have actually benefited names that we've owned, like, you know, AMD has been a classic beneficiary of a lot of the business that that Intel has lost, because they've had some technology missteps along the way with some of their new chip technology. And so,
we were looking at those returns, right? Mm-hmm. So last year, AMD was up 100%.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, Intel, for instance, right. And so we should kind of back up. The Intel report was a very positive report, especially for Intel, right? Because they haven't struggled. Their year over year sales were negative. And then they just, you know, finally had a, kind of a good quarter in the fourth. But tying that into, right, we can infer a lot from, you know, going forward for the names we do actually own. And so, Taiwan Semiconductor, they're up, you know, up over 87% last year. You know, they're already up 23% year to date this year. Qualcomm is another one, big 5G player, right? They're up over 72% last year. They're up 8% so far this year. And I meant to, and I'll pull it up in a second. I was trying to figure out the exact amount that the S&P 500 was up as of yesterday, but. And you've got, AMD's been kind of the one laggard for, you know, in 2021. You know, part of that's because they were up 100% in 2020.
Yeah. The pause that refreshes.
Right, yeah. So they've, had a pretty significant run-up last year. So we'll give them a pass on the first 21 days of this year. I haven't looked at them actually today. But some other smaller players that we've kind of gotten onto is UMC. Was a big winner for us last year, and we pretty much wrote about every one of these names we're mentioning. But you know what, UMC was up 214% last year.
And up
about 18.6 thus far this year. So they're continuing. I think they just hit an all-time high again.
All-time high this morning.
$10, I think.
Even in a down market.
Yeah. And ASX is another one. They were one that they had some, some issues, some some merger type issues, some legacy costs they were working through. In 2020, they were only up 5%, but they're up in a name we've gotten into recently. They're up 31% in 2021, and so we've got so we've kind of been covering this space a good bit. Long-term demand drivers, like we said, from 5G and Wi-Fi 6, but these short-term, a lot of good news short-term, which was highlighted kind of in the Intel report as well, because. Data centers, like you said, automotive is a huge has been a huge driver, and is a, certainly something that's happening in the short term, but also will, looks to be a kind of a long term benefit as well. So the most important thing is in this space, we kind of see these pricing benefits continuing, for foreseeable for the foreseeable future. So I expect us to have. A good bit of exposure in this space going forward. It's kind of that picks and shovels approach to technology. We don't have to. You don't have to be right. In this instance, is there?
So after the break, we've got news on another EV story, of course, and then some betting gaming news as well.
Yeah, sounds great. Well, we'll we'll be back for the last quarter of the hour. Welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I'm Barry Kite here with our bond guru, Paul Carlson, getting in the last segment of the week. So
happy Friday, Barry.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. Of course, that song always cracks me up because it's, go where you want to go, which is kind of a mantra for our, unconstrained approach to investment in our portfolios. Of course, that unconstrained portion includes using cash inverse ETFs to help cushion that volatility, cushion those drawdowns. But in doing so, a lot of our our stock selections, things we mentioned, names that pop up on our radar, right, are part of a big part of our screening process. Of course, whether it's the app or the newsletter, and you can certainly go to GundersonCapital.com and take a peek there. You can sign up for the newsletter, get some information about us.
Get the free trial,
right?
Yeah.
And be able to reach out to Edie via 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-2378, and she'll if you're interested in talking to interested in talking to Paul or myself, both of us, right, we're available. Edie makes it happen in terms of the schedules to kind of keep us looking forward and doing what we're doing on a daily basis. So she'll be happy to get you set up, and look forward to the opportunity to help some folks out there. So
yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, well, when tying into that, some couple of questions, we always get some from a planning perspective, get some questions in terms of, hey, what do I do, kind of keep my children interested, right, get them interested in investing. Usually whether it's, a 529
or grandchildren.
Yeah, grandchildren. Yeah. Exactly. A lot of times, you have, an individual account you want to, give, in the past we'd get, as a kid, you might get a stock certificate of, Disney stock certificate, right? It's going to have, pretty cartoon on it. A lot of that's kind of gone by the wayside a little bit, of course, it's most of it's in the digital world. So, always think of, when clients ask me that, I always just tell them, it's more about, picking something that the client, the kid's interested in, right, to get them interested, whether, Apple was a classic example for an extended period of time. Now I think, electric cars are kind of a, a neat, you know, kind of a neat vertical or a neat thing to kind of talk about. So just some, you know, some ideas there. It's really more, you know, it's less about the actual return sometimes. Of course, that depends on the size. Yeah, the size of the
money.
You just
want to get them involved.
Yeah, it's we've always always kind of thrown around the term of, you know raising kind of financially fit kids. So it's you know, part of that is you know, just exposure, right? You know, as we know, and holds true for myself as well. You know, it's hard to tell us what to do sometimes. You just got to kind of you know, put it out there, and then you know what their what curiosity kind of you know, run its course from there. So. But in line with that, one of the, you know, one of the names, and I'm got the article, let's see, pulling up the, there was a bill mentioned, it's, this new EV fast charging company to go public.
EVgo.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course via SPAC. But, yeah, they'll, you know what, I think the, the CLI, it's under CLII currently, and I think it's up about 43.7%. But, you know, another, you know, a electric vehicle fast charging station. I feel like I've seen
their
name.
Yeah, they're DC fast chargers.
Okay. And so,
we have some around here.
Yeah, that, I thought I've seen their name before, and that's, you know, I saw, you know, this morning on a news story, I actually saw, you know, they showed one, and I'm like, oh, well, that looks familiar in terms of, you know, the name that I'm used to versus, you know, the plugs of the world, right? All the everything else that we've, you know, kind of been seeing in that
space. Charge Point, and there's a number of names. Yeah.
So, you know, that's, you know, so in terms of, you know, tying it into, you know, your a name your kids may be interested in, right? At least it's a, you know, be a name that they'd see in the parking lot, right, as they're walking into your local grocery store potentially.
Exactly.
Yeah. Look for the two or four of them, and you know, hopefully there'll be more along the way. But another, you know, another piece in terms of that's looking, you know, kind of up and from a Best Stocks Now standpoint is just Michigan starts, I guess, open for sports betting officially. And so a name that we've had a lot of success with and just wrote about, you know, a few weeks back, they look to gain significantly in Michigan. So that's another kind of story in terms of, you know, states needing that extra revenue, right? And where do they get it from? And, you know, finding easy places, you know, to tax. And so that's one of those positions in Michigan. But, you know, tying into kind of, you know, Best Stocks, you know, stock of the day is going to kind of be an anti, you know, almost the opposite of, you know, what, and actually would have been what, you know, a stock that some people may have gotten and probably have certainly gotten some of the listeners out there as kids, which would be IBM. And so for IBM, you know, they just reported yesterday and they've, you know, what, had four consecutive
disappointed again.
Negative growth quarters, right? And so, you know, we think of, you know, as Bill is always, you know, always says, you know, stocks follow earnings. And it's been true for IBM as well. So, you know, kind of just looking, you know, kind
it's
of.
Really, it's really kind of a worst stock now, isn't it?
Yeah. And some most of the important things, right, in life are, you know, bad decisions you don't make, right? So, you know, sometimes more important than the good decisions you do make. And so, for instance, 3.3 five-year annual growth rate, right? You know, that's basically the single number you need to know as to why, you know, why it is, you know, a worse stock now. And it's been, you know, it's one of those stocks that's been great. I mean, it was American Icon. You know, it's hard to, you know, certainly hard to bash the history, but it's just, you know, on a go-forward basis, right, those names have changed.
But you have to go back before the turn of the century. I mean, you have to go back to, you know, the 90s.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's just that type of business, right? Just, you know, it hasn't, you know, it hasn't materialized and you can't, you know, it's hard to turn that around. Just ask GE, you know, and so. You know, it's just goes to show you, I think, in terms of stock selection, you know, where, you know, that piece, it's a very important piece in screening and how we use our screening tools and how we build portfolios has a lot to do with that, you know, those 5-year growth targets. So, well, I guess, our time for the week is, pretty much coming to an end, but, you know, we appreciate everyone out there, please give us a ring. We'd love to talk to you, and thanks for your help today, Paul.
Yep, you're welcome. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.